Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prayer for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we come again before you, thanking you for the opportunity to get together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. We thank you for the fact that we live in this nation that's been so abundantly supplied by you. We recognize that that in large measure is due to the fact that those who have gone before us have recognized you as the source of every perfect gift and oriented and adjusted to you through the spiritual life. So as we study today, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application, that we might glorify you in time by advancing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. We ask this, thank you now, in Jesus' name, amen. Since this week is a national celebration of Thanksgiving, it's appropriate to briefly discuss the holiday and its greater meaning for believers. And as we've learned in basically grade school or middle school, the first Thanksgiving is considered to have occurred in 1621, 1 year after the Pilgrim's arrival in Plymouth on the Mayflower, when Governor William Bradford in his Thanksgiving proclamation stated, "Therefore I, William Bradford, by the grace of God today, and the franchise of this good people, Governor of Plymouth, say, through virtue of power vested in me, you shall gather together with one accord and hold in the month of November Thanksgiving to the Lord." And of course, this is after their successful harvest and the fact that they had been delivered across the ocean. Of course, many of the original pilgrims to the New World came as a result of religious oppression and left on the basis of divine establishment to form up a place where they could have freedom of assembly and worship in a place where existing systems of religion didn't exist yet. And largely the colonies were established on the basis of divine establishment that is rooted in the Mosaic Law. And so those principles were in the thinking of those who founded the holiday. And it wasn't until October 3, 1863, where President Lincoln established Thanksgiving as a national holiday for the last Thursday of November. So that's where it becomes a national holiday. And where he said, even in war, we can count our blessings. They are gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, and of course he didn't really understand God's integrity with that statement, has nevertheless remembered mercy. Of course, remember, the anger of God is an anthropopathism. It's simply the conveyance of the justice of God on people who are disoriented to his provision, and it's a form of discipline. And of course, in that case, the nation had become divided over the issues of the sovereignty of the states, among other things, and ultimately formed up in a single union, which ultimately was the blessing of God on this nation, which to some extent has gone beyond its normal space as of today, which is typical of a single entity. So Thanksgiving is a national holiday that's celebrated by both the believer and the unbeliever. But for the believer, Thanksgiving is not only a holiday, it's an integral component of the spiritual life. So today we'll briefly consider the doctrine of Thanksgiving as it relates to the spiritual life of church-age believers. So the early founders of the nation were, for the most part, believers in Jesus Christ. And they brought with them doctrines that were derived from the Word of God. And it was from that basis that they established this day of celebration. Of course, the day has come down to us in many cases as a system of ritual rather than reality. Because, it's as a man thinks in his heart that he is. And so it's appropriate for us as believers, specifically since we recognize God as the source, to orient and adjust to him through Thanksgiving on a daily basis, not just on an annual basis. But it's certainly appropriate for the nation to have a day of Thanksgiving in its holiday calendar. Thanksgiving is a form of worship whereby the church-age believer acknowledges the benefits related to the divine initiative of antecedent grace from eternity past that extend into time. And of course, this is where we look back into eternity past through the Word of God. The grace of God through the Word of God provides us with the view of the divine outline of history, and we see from eternity past that God made perfect provision for us. So we have this divine initiative of antecedent grace in eternity past. It's the provision of the portfolio of invisible assets for every believer. Passage we often refer to, Ephesians 1:3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." And here we see the passage that describes God's provision in eternity past, where he set aside all of the necessary resources that the believer would need in time, and he actually deposits them in Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ becomes the depositary and also becomes the one who conveys the blessing to the believer in time as they advance in the Word of God and have capacity to actually have that conveyance without it destroying them. The problem with prosperity many times is that it destroys those who receive it because they don't have capacity. And that is to some extent what has happened to our nation. We are the recipients of grace beyond our wildest imagination. And at this point, for the most part, it seems that we don't even know why we have it. We think that we have it because we're something better than somebody else, or we have it because of our unique position on the geographic expanse of the earth, or some other thing. But the truth of the matter is that we're no different than anyone else. We're no better than anyone else. The only difference is the positive volition of those who came here before us. And so we're living in the wake of their orientation to God and His provision that derives from that orientation. And when you understand grace, it's not a system of doing, it's a system of orienting, and then God is the doer. And if you think about any object that reflects power, it's orientation. If you look at, for example, these days we're going to see more and more systems of energy production that derive from natural processes like the wind or the sun. And as you see them function, if you ever watch either a windmill or a solar array, an active solar array, both orient to the prevailing power source. In the case of a windmill, it has a vane that forces it to orient to the wind stream. And as a result, the propeller is engaged, or the rotor is engaged by the wind and is turned, and as a result, power is generated. And so that's a natural process. The same is true for an active solar array, where the mirrors are adjusted actively based on the orientation of the sun, and they focus energy on a target and or whatever, depending on how it's set up, whether it's a passive solar or active solar. Then maximum energy is derived from the sun, and that then is turned into something that's useful. Well, that's exactly how the believer's life works. That's grace. The external power system is the source of the power. In this case, the sun or the wind. And the believer in the spiritual life orients to God's provision, in the case of God. And they do that through grace orientation and doctrine orientation. And from that then comes the capacity to actually produce. But the believer is not the source of the production. It's the target of their object that is the source of the production. So that's why the United States is it has been blessed to this point, and why we have grace beyond our imagination, because those before us understood some of these principles and actually deployed them in their life. And so as we observe Thanksgiving, it's appropriate for us to recognize that that is how it is that we receive the conveyance of what God would have for us. And as we see here, it's laid up from eternity past. So these assets are subsequently conveyed by the Lord Jesus Christ in time, and deployed by the believer through the function of the three spiritual skills. Now, the three spiritual skills are the things that we're to learn in doctrine class that teach us how to take advantage of God's provision. And apart from these three spiritual skills, we really don't have any true capacity for function in the spiritual life. I mean, we can look like it. We can, again, remember, overt things can be replicated by unbelievers. So the characteristic statement is, if an unbeliever can do it, it's not the spiritual life. So what does that mean? Well, that means the overt ritual of conforming to a certain set of rules or observing a certain holiday are not the spiritual life. Now, they may reflect what's going on in the inner soul and thereby be the spiritual life, but they are not the spiritual life, because God considers the heart, and as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So the real person is in their thinking. And we then reflect the real person through our outward manifestation of things like Thanksgiving. So these spiritual skills are the things that are learned in doctrine class after salvation that enable the believer to actually function as God would have them to in life. So these are the first one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. that is not only the energy and the power for the spiritual life, but it's also a spiritual skill that the believer learns. You see, you don't learn the concept of acknowledgement of sin, or another phrase for that is rebound, because remember, the believer starts out in fellowship with God at the point of salvation. They exit fellowship with God at the point of first sin, known or unknown, and they rebound back into fellowship with God by acknowledgement of sin. So while the exact words in 1 John 1:9 are, if we acknowledge any known sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sin and purify us of all wrongdoing, it's simply a process whereby we appropriate the grace of God on the cross for our experience, and at that point receive the benefit of His work on our behalf. So this is an orientation statement. We orient to God's grace for sin, and provision for sin, and rather than doing some system of penance or other system that some person may prescribe in a religion. This is God's grace provision. This is an orientation. So, again, that's a spiritual skill that we learn in doctrine class that's consistent with the grace policy of God. Bible doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness is not only a power option, but it's also a spiritual skill. So Bible doctrine becomes the system of faith whereby the believer can persist in the plan of God. Now, again, the acknowledgement of sin enables the believer to get back into the plan. But doctrine not only teaches how to get back into the plan, but also teaches a system of persistence. And, of course, that's the ultimate objective, is for the believer to persist in the plan and not sin. And we've studied that at length lately. The filling of the Holy Spirit and the metabolized doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness are the basis for the formation of the third spiritual skill, and that is the problem-solving devices on the defensive perimeter of the soul. So doctrine, along with the Holy Spirit, creates the system where we have a set of problem-solving devices, which we all know that it's worth repeating. The problem-solving devices are acknowledgement of sin or rebound, filling of the Holy Spirit, faith residual, grace orientation, doctrine orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God the Father, and personal love for all mankind, or impersonal or integrity love, sharing the happiness of God and occupation with Christ. So this creates a system whereby the believer is able to apply the doctrine. And when you get right down to it, the problem-solving devices are not only the mechanism whereby doctrine is perceived, they're the mechanism whereby the doctrine is metabolized, and they're the mechanism whereby the doctrine is applied. So these stated devices are the system that the believer utilizes to actually deploy the word, not only to perceive it, but to deploy it. So, because we understand that the filling of the Holy Spirit is necessary for the believer to even understand the doctrine, and so the Holy Spirit is necessary for that process. And then as we function in the spiritual life, we actually deploy it in these various facets. You can view these problem solving devices as facets of the integral spiritual life. You know, that's kind of what the way they are. And they're additive in that you start out with the basics of doctrine and the filling of the Spirit, and that is parlayed into personal sense of destiny, or actually first grace and doctrine orientation, which is faith. We discussed 1 Corinthians 13:13. And that then becomes a personal sense of destiny because one becomes rooted and established in the Word. And so a person has, because of their awareness of God's plan and purpose for their lives and their part for in it and how God has made everything possible for them, they have confidence, which is hope. And then that becomes parlayed into love and occupation with Christ and God the Father. So the believer then advances, if you will, in what we call the continuum of the spiritual life from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity by virtue of the problem-solving devices. So these are the function of the spiritual skills that the believer learns in Bible class. The biblical definition of worship is the basis of the true function of thanksgiving. This definition is given in John 4:24. Of course, this was the statement he made to the Samaritan woman regarding worship. And of course, she had said, well, you guys worship over in Jerusalem and we worship over here in Samaria, and where are we going to worship ultimately? And Jesus Christ tells them, well, neither place. You're going to worship in your thinking, because now the priesthood is in the believer, and the priesthood is the believer. We're not oriented to some geographical location in the church age. And so our function in spirituality is wherever we are. And so the believer is spiritual as they live, regardless of where they are, and they can be at least, and the option is available at all times. So this is his response. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship by means of the spirit, that is the filling of the spirit, and by means of truth or doctrine. Of course, the filling of the spirit, as we've seen in our studies since the spring, is one of the unique characteristics of the church age that never existed prior. So this becomes the system that the believers to function in this new era. And the filling of the Spirit then becomes the basis of the spiritual life. And as we saw just a minute ago, it's a spiritual skill. Thanksgiving is worship and is a response to God for the provision and function of the problem-solving devices as they become the defensive perimeter on the believer's soul. So as the believer comes to understand what God has done for them and is able to, by virtue of the communication of the Word, to actually deploy these problem-solving devices on their soul, they are in a status of quiescence of soul because these problem-solving devices block the sources of stress in the believer's life. So we understand the principle of adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. So in this world, we will have adversity. But in this world, we do not have to have stress. Adversity is what circumstances do to us. Stress is what we do to ourselves. So because of the doctrine, we are able to actually function in a midst of a chaotic world in absolute tranquility. In fact, when you think about it, the greatest freedom comes from being able to live moment to moment in time in total chaos with absolute tranquility of soul. And really, that's what the spiritual life is enabling the individual, the believer, to do. To be able to not, if you think about the systems that exist in the world today, things like jobs. What is a job? It's a human solution that creates determinism. Creates determinism for two people, the employer and the employee. The employer is able to determine the price for the function service that employee is going to do. Fixes it. The employee is able to determine what they're going to make over a certain period of time. So it's deterministic. Well, that's the opposite of chaos. So we live in chaos. God says, he doesn't say to have a job, he says have work. He says to work. He says you work and apply yourself and I will convey to you what you need, period, end of story. Man says, well, I don't just want to work, but I want to have determinism. So when the believer who's able to understand God's plan for them is able to function at work without a job. So they're motivated by the Word of God to actually go do something productive, irrespective of the direct remuneration. Because they recognize that if they're functional in society as God mandates in their work, He will provide for them somehow. And they don't have to know why or how. They just have to know that He will. And that's doctrine. So there's total freedom in that. You then, as an individual, can pursue whatever things that you choose to pursue that are the things that you like to do, without regard to what the society says, that pays a lot. And so you're able to function in a totally grace-oriented way, producing what you like to produce under the filling of the Holy Spirit, and God will grace you out according to His perfect integrity. And when you have the doctrine for that, then you have real freedom. So you're not only free politically and socially, but you're free economically. You see, and so as you progress along the spiritual life, you'll find that there's more and more freedom in life because you're free to pursue what you really want to pursue. And then have gratitude towards God for His provision for you because you didn't see how you were going to get graced out, but you were. And of course that comes with advanced doctrine and the ability to walk by means of doctrine on a persistent basis. So this, and again, we are living in chaos. That is how God has set up the environment that we're in order that He is glorified. That, of course, is the objective. He's glorified in the process because He works through the chaos to bring believers to the place where He wants them to be. Now, in eternity, there will be no chaos. Everything will be nailed down in perfectly order, and we'll have quiescence in our environment as well as in our souls. But today, we have the option of having absolute, perfect happiness and thanksgiving in our souls because of our orientation to the Word of God and our cognizance of it. All true worship in the church age is based on the two power options for the believer's spiritual life: the filling of the Holy Spirit and metabolized doctrine. Of course, this relates to doing a right thing in a right way in the right reason at the right time. You see, we can do things that we would say are worship of God in the form of ritual. In fact, the Israelites did it. But God said, your heart isn't in that. You're just doing this stuff because it's in the Bible. And you're doing these days, and but your heart is not with me. You talk about it, and you make motions for it all, but it isn't with me. Your heart isn't in it, and I don't have any use for it. So stop doing that. Don't waste your time. And he chastises them for the ritual without reality. The real issue is in the soul, and that comes from the doctrine that's in our thinking that provides us not only with the understanding of how something is supposed to be done, but the process whereby it's supposed to be done and why we should do it. And so we're not just functioning in a system of rote. We're functioning in a system that's comes from our thinking and our heart. And it's something we want to do because it's part of who we are. We are identified with Jesus Christ and His provision for us, and we're exhibiting thanksgiving, as is the case of thanksgiving, on a continuous basis because of our total orientation to Him as our source. Filling of the Holy Spirit plus metabolization of doctrine plus the problem-solving devices on the defensive perimeter of the soul become capacity for and the basis of true thanksgiving. And of course, when I say true thanksgiving, I mean it's not just an outward statement. It's what you really think in your heart. That's the difference between what is true and what is not true. Again, the outward statement is, yeah, it's appropriate for me to be thankful in this circumstance. And I'm thankful to an extent, and I'm happy that I have this thing. But true thanksgiving is where you are oriented to the giver totally, and you're recognizing the source of the blessing, and you're also thankful for the blessing, because obviously that is part of the process. But it comes right from the thinking and right from who you are. Thanksgiving is therefore a reflection of the application of Bible doctrine to the believer's experience through the function of the problem-solving devices. And of course, all doctrine is functional through the problem-solving devices. That's how it actually works. Believers do not completely understand thanksgiving until they are consistently functioning in the three spiritual skills. Thanksgiving is a part of the daily function of the 10 problem-solving devices that are deployed on the defensive perimeter of the soul. So, you know, that what that means is one's capacity for thanksgiving will increase as one advances in the spiritual life. Now, the reason for that is because you understand more of what God has done for you. You know, God has done it all for everyone. All believers have everything already available. It's just a matter of conveyance, and that's a function of their believers' understanding of what has happened. So, but there's a continuum. You know, we don't start out from a dead stop and reach 100 miles an hour real fast. If there's a period of time it takes to accelerate. And the same is true for the spiritual life. The believer starts out with basically nothing at the point of salvation. They have believed in Jesus Christ for salvation. What is that? Well, they've done nothing. They've simply recognized that Jesus is who the Bible says they are. They've agreed with God that that's true. Okay, now God has done everything for them. He's laid aside all these provisions for Ephesians 1:3. They're all sitting there, ready to be used. But the believer has no ability to utilize them apart from the Word of God. So somehow the believer has to be moved by the Holy Spirit into a communication sphere of communication gift, and as a result, the believer then can be built up to the point where they understand what God has done for them. At that point now, the believer has capacity for thanksgiving. And that capacity keeps increasing as the believer understands more and more of the doctrine. So one is more thankful as an adult or mature believer than one is as an infant believer because of the capacity of the word that's in the soul. Thanksgiving as worship is a part of the spiritual life. Therefore, thanksgiving must be related to the function of the three spiritual skills. And of course, that's how the believer is spiritual. For the believer, thanksgiving is not simply some shallow, transient system of gratitude for something. It's a system of worship of God. It is a capacity for worship. It's capacity for life. And it's a reflection of the believer's love for God through the function of the three spiritual skills. So you see, as the believer is aware of what God has done, then they have greater and greater capacity and therefore greater and greater orientation to grace and greater thanksgiving. Because remember, thanksgiving and grace orientation are in tandem. Thanksgiving is a moment-by-moment mental attitude that is produced by the spiritual skills in the soul. It's a part of the divine viewpoint of life. Thanksgiving is a mental attitude that comes from the function of the three spiritual skills. And it has to do, again, with that orientation. The fact that we are oriented to God for our source, we're not constantly producing on our own. In fact, we're actually not. Remember, it's not of Romans 9:16. It's not of him who runs or wills, but to God who gives grace. So, and that statement is specific to salvation. But the principle applies to the spiritual life. We function orienting to God as the source. And that doesn't mean we don't have responsibility to have integrity in our circumstance, in our life. We do. We have mandates related to our function in our nation, in our families, in whatever venue that we're in. There are ways that we function there with integrity. But ultimately, the capacity for that integrity comes from God, not from ourselves. I mean, that's precisely the problem we have in our nation today. The structures that have been built to create security for people have been destroyed because those who have involved themselves with those structures have had no integrity. So, as a result, those structures are going to fail the people who are dependent upon them. Now, that's really not a problem for the believer because the believer isn't really dependent on them. I mean, if they happen to be available, God will use that channel as a means of support for the believer. But if they're not available, the believer is not in any way reduced in their needs. Their needs are supplied anyway by God somehow. So God will find a way to convey what is necessary for the believer in their specific circumstance, irrespective of the nation's ascent or descent. So as believers, we needn't be concerned about that. We need to simply orient and adjust to the plan of God, and he'll come through for us in the right way at the right time. And we won't know how that's going to happen, and it isn't our job to know. Because all this, remember, has been prepositioned by God in eternity past. So as we walk through life, if we're walking on the path he would have us to walk, we are going to stumble over the resources necessary to perpetuate our life on this planet if that's what God desires for us to do. And it will be something we can't avoid. The grace of God will pursue us, as David said. So that's exactly how it works. So we don't have to be looking for it. It will find us. We simply, the Lord said it himself in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added face to face with you. The word there is, added to you is prosekemi, actually, and it means added face to face with. And that means added in such a way that you can't miss it. So when you're walking in the plan of God, the provision will be made. And so when you understand that, you can be completely relaxed in your life and have gratitude towards God at all times, no matter what the circumstance. And of course, that's where the real difference between the function of thanksgiving in the immature believer and the mature believer is because the mature believer is able to give thanks in any circumstance because they recognize that as long as they don't react towards it in arrogance or in fear, some form of mental sin, they will be graced out by God in spite of the problem. And they will actually be accelerated in a spiritual life because it's a form of testing for advance, momentum testing. This attitude is part of capacity for life and is based on maximum Bible doctrine that is resident and circulating in the stream of consciousness. Thanksgiving is a mental attitude that is forged from persistent cognition and inculcation of Bible doctrine that results in the believer having capacity for life from metabolized doctrine that is available for application to experience from its launching pad in the right lobe of the soul. And of course, this takes the doctrine all the way through from its communication through the believer's understanding that communication under the mentorship of the Spirit, to their believing it as true, so their reality of life is established by the doctrine, and then it's now available for deployment when a system of adversity is presented. And so the believer simply recalls the doctrine they've already learned and deploys it. And of course, what that does is it takes the stress that would otherwise penetrate the soul and reflects it back into a way. So the believer's soul is not caught up with adversity or with stress. In Colossians 2:7 we having been rooted and having been built up in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and having been stabilized by means of the doctrine that you have been taught, his thinking, overflowing with thanksgiving. So here we have an individual who recognizes their position is established in Christ, an irrevocable position that's eternally secure. That's the basis. And then from the doctrine, they also recognize the thinking. They're stabilized in his thinking. And as a result of this, of their cognition of these realities, they are thankful because they recognize that it's nothing that they do except orient. Remember, our job is to orient. God's job is to do. So we learned how to orient, and that's through the problem-solving devices and the spiritual skills. And then God is the one who produces. And he's the one who will... His objective is for us to learn how to orient so that he can produce through us. And, of course, that then we recognize then that it's an entire system of grace, and grace, and again, and thanks, grace is the source, and thanksgiving is the response to the understanding of grace. We see that there is a relationship between the believer's consistent perception of Bible doctrine, the believer's attitude of thanksgiving towards God, because Bible doctrine gives capacity for gratitude. In other words, the believer understands what God has done for them through their cognition of the Word, and then reflects back to God thanksgiving because of their recognition of what God has done. In Colossians 1:12, we have given thanks to the Father who has qualified us for a share in the endowment of the saints in the light. In the light is the instrumental of means, which is an idiom stating that the means whereby the believer is qualified for a share of the endowment of the saints is through the light of the infallible Word of God. So again, this goes back to God's function in eternity past, as we saw, and his grace has been conveyed towards us from eternity past. But it's only possible for us to actually understand what he has done through the doctrine. And apart from the doctrine, we don't have a clue as to what he has done. That's why a believer who doesn't function in the spiritual life cannot be differentiated from an unbeliever. Because they're running in the same system. They're minus the doctrine. And they're unable to perceive what God has done for them. So they have no choice but to rely on themselves. And of course, that's the natural system of Cosmic 1 and Cosmic 2. Cosmic 1 and Cosmic 2 provide a mechanism whereby those minus the spiritual life can actually function in time. Now, it doesn't work in eternity, but it works in time. Well, it works in a lake of fire in eternity for the unbeliever. And it works for loss of reward for the loser, for the believer who fails to advance, you know, at the evaluation. But it doesn't work in eternity. In God's sphere, you can't run in Cosmic 1 or Cosmic 2. You have to run totally in the spiritual life. The only way that the believer can share in this endowment is through metabolized doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness. And of course, the endowment is the provision that God has laid up from eternity past that is perceived by means of doctrine. Thanksgiving is a response to the attainment of the spiritual capacity, righteousness, and the subsequent conveyance of blessings for time. Of course, we recognize blessings for time come in at least two categories. You have the logistical grace support that's provided as because of the believer's identity with Christ. That's basically what takes the believer and places out of the cosmos and places them into the heavenly sphere, whereby they can simply function by orienting to God's grace. Remember, the unbeliever can't do that. So this is a system that's only available to believers, which is why it's antithetical to the thinking of the unbeliever. The unbeliever can understand this process. An unbeliever would not believe that you can simply orient to the grace of God by focusing on the Word of God first and then have everything that you want or need, and many of the things that you want. Basically, God puts the desires in our hearts, so he's interested in fulfilling those desires in his way and in his time. So most of the things that everybody works their butt off for will be automatically conveyed to the believer if the believer simply orients to him. Now, it won't happen in the believer's in the person's time necessarily, but part of the adjustment is to adjustment to the timing of God. Now, if we've used the examples of Abraham and David and Moses as individuals who have God has called to do great works and are set up as examples for us in the Old Testament. And every one of them failed by getting out of the timing of God. Every one of them. But what was interesting is in every case, God provided them with what they wanted. So the issue wasn't what they wanted. The issue was when. So God had put the desire in their hearts, and then the challenge to them was to wait. orient and adjust to me and my provision for you, and I will fulfill the desires of your heart in my time. And what that means is when you have the capacity to actually have that and not be destroyed by it. And as we have seen, Abraham, the world today, the chaos in this world experientially is largely the result, much of it, of Abraham's failure. The chaos in David's family was a largely result of his failure. The rape of Tamar, the murder of Amnon, etc., the rebellion of Absalom, that whole disaster that occurred in his family was a result of his failure to wait on the timing of God. And in the case of Moses, you have him having to run away for 40 years because he wasn't prepared to take Israel from Egypt under a grace policy. He didn't understand that yet. And it took 40 years in the desert for him to understand God's grace policy and then have the capacity to come back to Egypt so that he could take the people out of the land, could lead them with the right motivation. In other words, it wasn't just doing the right thing. It was to do the right thing in the right way and at the right time. So this then, as a result then, of course, we can see. So in our own life, since we can look at these individuals, many of the tests that we face are simply issues of timing more than they are issues of what exactly it is that's going to be conveyed, because God has put the desire in our heart for it. And it's his desire. And of course, when we understand this, then we can live in a totally grace-oriented life and be thankful even when the things we hope for are delayed, because we recognize it isn't God's time. Of course, we're going to see mandates towards the end of this that describe the fact that the believers who give thanks in all things. So this means no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the difficulty is, no matter even if it's fair or unfair, it doesn't matter. God trumps all that. God will work through and bring his provision to us in his timing. And those are simply delaying tactics that he is permitting to occur to test our doctrine. Are we willing to wait on him for the conveyance of what he wants to give us and what we want? So thanksgiving is both an expression of the spiritual skills and the capacity for divine blessing in time. It's the expression of capacity for appreciation of God and a mental attitude of gratitude towards God. Therefore, thanksgiving is the believer's daily attitude towards God. So this is a consistent, in other words, it's not just a one-day event. It's a persistent, continual reality. In fact, when you recognize grace orientation, the outworking of grace orientation is thanksgiving. Because grace orientation is basically recognizing that we have nothing that we have not received. Everything we have is from as we have received. And we may well have taken advantage of the provision given us and parlayed that into some form of success, but nonetheless, the basis for that ability to parlay what we've received into success was grace, and the ability to even breathe in the process and persist in life on this planet was grace. So it's all a function of God's grace, and so we would naturally respond when we understand it with thanksgiving. And of course, spiritually, when you understand, when you're under the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to the Holy Spirit will actually motivate you to be thankful, because he works in us both to will and to work of his good pleasure. Thanksgiving is an act of giving thanks. It is a grateful acknowledgement of the benefits of the grace of God. Hence, it's an expression of gratitude towards God based on the believer's doctrinal capacity to appreciate who and what God is and what he has done. So it always comes back to a recognition of what God has already accomplished. And remember, everything that God has accomplished is finished. We're simply working in the time of the printout. Remember, when you understand the doctrine of the divine decree, it was all formulated in the mind of God and instantaneously. And time is simply the progressive, day-by-day, linear printout of what God perceived instantaneously in a moment of time. And so we're living in that printout. And God foreknew everything that would happen. And of course, we understand that we can play, when we understand the doctrine, we're actually able to work into that printout by virtue of our positive volition. So he is free then to convey to us greater blessings as a result of his cognition of our positive volition from eternity past, before at the moment the printout was conceived. The only believers who have capacity for this type of thanksgiving are those who are advancing in the pre-designed plan of God for their life. So you can't have this level of thanksgiving because you don't have the perception of what has happened unless you're advancing in the plan. All of these things are true for a believer who's just started and who is still caught up in some legalistic system of religion, but they've come to a system of faith alone. But that individual is so locked into the ritual and the legalism of their association that they have no cognition of what God has done. Now, they may persist in that and as a result never have true capacity for thanksgiving, or at least not to the level that they could. But if an individual takes advantage of the communication gifts, then they can be moved into this greater capacity because they are become aware of what God has already done. Remember, this is all going back to antecedent grace, what God has done for us from eternity past. The only believers who have capacity for this type of thanksgiving are those who are advancing in the pre-designed plan of God for their life. For the believer, thanksgiving is more than an outward expression of gratitude. It's more than an application in the human sense. It's an appreciation for God that cannot exist apart from the function of the spiritual skill. So again, it goes right back to the problem-solving devices as they are functional in the believer's life. In Ephesians 5:20, we have, "Always be thankful with reference to all things toward God, even the Father, through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who makes it all possible. Because remember, grace is all that God is free to convey to man because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because apart from Jesus Christ, God would have had no option but to destroy the entire creation. But of course, from eternity past, he knew that Christ would succeed and he would prevail, go to the cross impeccable, and be qualified to receive the imputation and judgment of the sins of the world, thereby providing the means whereby he could reconcile mankind to himself while simultaneously maintaining his impeccability. And so Jesus Christ then becomes the total focus of this thing, because it is in and through and by him that it's all possible. And of course, for the church age believer, we have the unique situation where he not only is that focus, but he's also his thinking that he utilized as he implemented God's plan in his life becomes the model for us. So he is the template for our spiritual life. And we live in this world as he did when we understand the process. Obedience to this command requires the filling of the Spirit, metabolized doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness and the function of the problem-solving devices. Thanksgiving is first of all directed towards God, and as an overflow of gratitude, it is capacity and appreciation for life. Thanksgiving is an index or gauge of the spiritual status of the believer. The greater the content of metabolized doctrine in the believer's soul, the greater the believer's gratitude and capacity for the mental attitude of thanksgiving in life. And of course, that goes back to recognizing what it is that God worked out from eternity past. The more the believer uses the problem-solving devices of the pre-designed plan of God, the more the believer has capacity for thanksgiving towards God. So it's related to the function of the spiritual skills. In Ephesians 5:18b, we have the filling of the Spirit, and the B part of 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine." Of course, the comparison is made between the control of the believer's soul by alcohol versus the Spirit. Of course, they're antithetical realities because we have a mandate not to drink too much. So, but the principle here is explained. But the part of this I want to go into is, but be filled with the Spirit. So we have the filling of the Spirit first. The filling of the Spirit that results in the happiness and contentment of soul that is demonstrated in verse 19 where it says, "Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." So this is the believer with quiescence of soul, giving thanks to God and praising God on a moment-by-moment basis because of what they're aware of that God has done for them. And in verse 20, it leads us to the final part of this. It says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." And then it goes on to discuss, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ," or reverence of Christ. So we recognize that all this is possible, and this thanksgiving is possible because of the filling of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then leading us into a cognition of what it is that God has done. And as a result, the natural response is one of thanksgiving. and we will be led to that. It's not something that we're dragged to. It's not something that we work up. It's not something that we think we have to do. It's just a lifestyle of thanksgiving because we recognize what God has done. And we're absolutely confident that He will always come through for us no matter what. And even when circumstances demonstrate otherwise or appear to, we recognize that circumstances are being permitted by God to pull us off our game. And it's simply a test. Because ultimately God will prevail and overwhelm the circumstances in His time. Thanksgiving accompanies the acknowledgement of known sin as an expression of gratitude for the forgiveness of sins, restoration to fellowship, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving is related to the metabolized doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness. The greater the content of metabolized doctrine in the believer's stream of consciousness, the greater the capacity for the mental attitude of thanksgiving. So the more doctrine, the more capacity for thanksgiving. And of course, that makes perfect sense. In Colossians 1:10, we have, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to all, bearing fruit in every good work, in fact, constantly growing up by means of metabolized or spirit-taught doctrine from God. So if you look at this word acknowledge over here, we'll see it's the word epinosis. It's not the word gnosis. So that's the word for spirit-taught knowledge. That's metabolized doctrine under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit. So the provision here is from God the Holy Spirit, as the believer has been taught that information after they've received that information from the communication gift. Thanksgiving is related to the problem-solving devices. Once the believer begins to understand God's grace provision for restoration to fellowship through the application of the doctrine of acknowledgement of any known sin, the believer inevitably comes to a point where they express gratitude to God for His grace provision for the forgiveness of sins and restoration to fellowship with God. The filling of the Holy Spirit causes the believer to express their appreciation to God. So it's God, again, working in us to will and to work of His good pleasure. Without the filling of the Spirit, believers have no capacity to even express true thanksgiving to God. Now, that's not saying that they can't express thanksgiving. An unbeliever can express thanksgiving to a certain level. But here we're orienting to the spirituality of thanksgiving and the recognition of God as the source of every gift. And so there's a whole different level to that. The faith rest drill results in capacity and expression of thanksgiving. Grace orientation becomes a continual source of the thanksgiving to God. So these are the problem-solving devices as they function in the believer's thanksgiving. Doctrine orientation provides greater and greater capacity for thanksgiving until the capacity is so great that the believer shares the happiness of God. A personal sense of destiny is a source of thanksgiving for the believer understands that and is oriented to the objectives, purpose, and understanding of God's will, plan, and purpose for their life. And there's nothing like having that identity. In fact, I mean, personal sense of destiny is a great point in one's life where one recognizes why they're on this planet and how they're to live. And it's not for some system of ritual or some system of do's and don'ts, but they recognize that they are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the devil's world by their life. And that may mean witnessing as appropriate, but really it means living your life in the protocol that Jesus Christ Himself established. And that's why we're here. And as we do that, we automatically then fulfill the mandates of the Father. So that's when the believer really can recognize why do bad things happen in my life? Why is it that it seems like everything I do is right, as far as I can tell, and yet it doesn't work? Well, when you have a personal sense of destiny, you can understand that we are in this world, and part of this life in this world is suffering. And look at Jesus Christ. That's why He becomes the object of our focus. We become occupied with Him because what happened to Him? He was impeccable. And what happened? He was accused. He was taken. He was beaten. And He was crucified. And He was perfect. And we certainly aren't perfect. And we don't necessarily, we don't even get beat on like He did. But we go through various adversities. But He did that with absolute joy in His heart. Hebrews 12:2. Happiness. Why? Personal sense of destiny. He knew that He was the linchpin for mankind from God. And apart from His work on the cross, mankind was lost. And He functioned in that responsibility perfectly. And so in a similar way, God has, not the same one, but in a similar way, in our own little, in our own sphere, God has a plan for us. And we can have a personal sense of destiny towards that. And when we come to recognize that, then we have confidence and expectation in life and absolute happiness. And of course, that can be then a source of thanksgiving. Personal love for God the Father adds motivational virtue to thanksgiving. Of course, personal love for God is the capacity for virtue in life. And impersonal love for all mankind relates to impersonal, interpersonal relationships, to mental attitude thanksgiving towards God. With impersonal love, or integrity love, believers can have capacity for and are thankful to God in all circumstances without regard to unjust or unfair treatment. So the fact that it's fair or unfair is irrelevant. It is what it is. And you just keep on moving. And you wait on God to rectify the situation. And if you have to wait for eternity for that to occur, fine. If you have to wait to eternity, the prosperity from it will be even greater than it would ever have been in time. Because it will have grown, it would have been parlayed into eternal rewards that are conveyed at the judgment seat of Christ that are available forever. So when unjust things happen, it's just the way it is. We just keep moving, recognizing that, that no matter what happens, God will provide for us, and we don't have to have things come out the way we thought they should. They'll come out the way they come out, and we just have to maintain positive volition towards the Word, no matter what. Sharing the happiness of God provides tremendous contentment in life. Soul tranquility becomes capacity for thanksgiving in every circumstance of life. You know, we can't have, if we have arrogance or emotional sinning in our lives, there is no thanksgiving. We're either in bitterness or implacability or in fear or anger, vituperation. That's all. There's no thanksgiving there. There's no contentment there. Because you're trying to fix things yourself. Whereas if you allow God to come through for you in His timing and wait on Him, then there is great happiness. Or there can be, when you understand that He will come through for you in the perfect time. He will come through for you when the maximum blessing will accrue to you who have waited. The ultimate in mental attitude thanksgiving and overexpression of gratitude toward God comes with occupation with Christ. Without occupation with Christ, capacity for life, or Bible doctrine in the soul, thanksgiving cannot be sustained. You say we can have a transient source of thanksgiving for various things that occur, but thanksgiving as a lifestyle won't be there. And of course, that's why when I say true thanksgiving, that's what I'm talking about. When one has capacity that is a persistent capacity from the Word of God and cognition of God's provision through the Word. Believers reach a peak of capacity for thanksgiving when they have personal love for God the Father and occupation with the person of Christ as the basis for their gratitude. Thanksgiving is spiritual orientation to life through residence, function, and momentum inside God's power system. So it's life in the predesigned plan of God that provides the capacity for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving fulfills the divine mandates found in the following passages. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Everything in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you, God in Christ Jesus." And in Ephesians 5:20, "Always giving thanks for to all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." So we have even the protocol for prayer in that passage. Metabolized doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness produces thanksgiving towards God. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, we have thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And of course, that being the person of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7:12, we have blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and ability belong to God forever and ever. Amen. Psalms 104, we have enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, honor His person, or praise His name. Of course, when you see the word name in the Bible in that type of context, it means His identity, who and what He is. Thanksgiving is a function of prayer. In Ephesians 1:16, we have, "I do not cease giving thanks for you, and I make mention of you in my prayers." And of course, this was Paul's consistent function towards believers whom he was a communicator for, the entire group of believers that he, in the churches he founded in Asia Minor. In Colossians 1:3, we have, "And we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." In Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. And in Philippians 4:6, we have stopped worrying about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known for God. So I've run out of time here. I'll just conclude with the last statement of this in my class. We see that for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving is not only a national holiday that is observed once a year, but is a continuous function in life. So the spiritual life provides the believer with capacity for thanksgiving that goes beyond anything that is simply a form of ritual. It goes right to the heart of the matter, and that is how the believer thinks, because they recognize what God has done for them in antecedent grace. So let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provided for us here to take a quick view at Thanksgiving as a response to your grace in our lives. Help us to recall these doctrines as we recall all the doctrines relating to you and your provision for us that provide us motivation to give thanks in all things and to be always waiting on you with confident anticipation. Please help us to recall these as we observe Thanksgiving and make it a mental attitude for us at all times. And we ask this, thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.